I encourage you to take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I'm going to begin a brand new series, and we're going to be looking at the life of a king by the name of Uzziah. And though there is 23 verses dedicated to him in 2 Chronicles, just 7 verses in 2 Kings chapter 15, there are some things that we can take to heart as we study the Old Testament Scripture to encourage us, to warn us, to remind us. Remember, the Old Testament was written for our admonition and for our learning. It's included as God's Word to us. And this particular king that I'm going to be reading about, and I'm not going to share all of the verses tonight. I'm just going to read the first 15 verses, because the first 15 kind of build upon this man's youth, how he sought after God. And as long as he sought after God, the Bible says the Lord was with him. And the first 15 verses record this man and the things that he was able to do through the power of God in his life. So I want to begin reading at verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. So there was a period of time in which Uzziah was a co-regent with his father. Now we know that his father made some very poor judgments in the last part of his reign. He attacked the northern kingdom of Israel, and they conquered him. And then they sent assassins to take his life. So during this period of time, there's a co-regency between Uzziah and his father Amaziah. And finally, his father was killed, we're told in 2 Kings, assassinated, and he comes to rule. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah. He was the prophet during that time, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jibneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Jerbaal and the Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jeiel the scribe and Messiah the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with the mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines, invented by cunning men, to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Helped by whom? God. Helped by whom? And then we read in verse 16, and this just leads to the last part of his life. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Father in heaven, we thank you for the record of men and women in the Old Testament. We do not lift ourselves up in pride. We understand and know that we are the same way. We have the same human heart. And I pray, Father, that we would understand and know some of the things that you share in the testimony of Holy Writ for our learning and for our admonition. There are things that we can take to heart to avoid going down a pathway that leads to destruction. I pray that you would teach us from the life of Uzziah. We thank you, Father, for his life. We thank you that he desired to do that which was right in the sight of you, his God. A man that was very gifted, but a man who turned his back upon thee in the last years of his life, looking to his own strength and power. I pray that you would teach us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first 15 verses of this passage of Scripture record the good years of Uzziah the king. As a matter of fact, it's interesting to me when you read Isaiah chapter 6, it says there that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. The record of his death is there with little commentary about what happened and how he died. He died a leper. He was not allowed to live in the palace because of his leprosy. He was sent to one of the side houses. We don't know for sure how long he lived with leprosy. We are told at the end of this particular chapter in 2 Chronicles 26 that as he was in there waving the incense, after he had been warned by the high priest, leave now, he went and he picked up the incense and he began to wave it back and forth as he was told to drop it and to come out. And it, so the Bible says that his forehead broke out with leprosy. He moved from having no leprosy to having advanced leprosy in just a matter of seconds. Because he had lifted himself up in pride and he took upon a role that was not his to take. And I want to build some instruction, if I can, to show how you can be exceptionally gifted. You can be used of God. But if you're not careful, you can allow pride to build into your heart, which can break fellowship. We can't lose our salvation, amen? But we can certainly bring about a break in fellowship from our side because we are lifted up with pride. I want us to look at this man, Uzziah, because he was exceptionally gifted. He had so many abilities. You know, when you read about all the things that he did there in Jerusalem, the inventions, do you realize that he developed some type of a mechanism that would fire large stones 800 years before the trebuchet, which was built in Gaul, to hurl massive stones, these slings? The Jews were the first to develop it. And for years, the historian said, oh, that's a falsehood. We all know that the Romans and the Greeks developed these high inventions for that until they were able to find, buried in the rubble, these inventions of Uzziah. The ability to be able to build this spring-loaded mechanism that would take a large stone and hurl it from the wall into the enemy. It was both defensive and offensive to protect. Another thing that he did, we're told here, is that on the walls he was able to build these parapets that stood up where an archer could go inside and could fire freely inside there, but the incoming arrows would bounce off of the stone. Just an amazing thing. And he developed these things to protect the people of Jerusalem. Many other things. He was a husbandman. He loved tilling the ground and growing things. Now remember, in that day, they didn't have Walmart. I remember a kid one time at school, one of the teachers said, where does milk come from? And the kid spoke up and said, Winn-Dixie. All right? Well, the teacher was trying to get into a deeper truth, you know. But for the kid, That was right for them. We go to Winn-Dixie and we get the milk. But where does the milk come from? Where it comes from a cow. Where does the cow get the milk? God gave him the ability to be able to produce that. All right. So here we find this man Uzziah being chosen, by the way, by the people to rule in his father's stead. Was that the norm in Israel, in Judah? No. Normally, God chose. But we find here that the people chose Uzziah at age 16. Now, nothing against 16-year-olds. They can drive cars now. 16-year-olds can do a lot of things. They can work. But I don't know very many 16-year-olds that could run for president. How many of you saw this week the 14-year-old that's trying to run for governor? All right? And he was all dressed up out there, and he looked just looked like a kid standing there, and he's running for governor. Because in their area, they don't have an age limit. So you can be young to do that. By the way, Isaiah says that in the last days, children shall rule. So maybe this is the stage being set for that. But here's a 16-year-old. Boy, do you remember when you were 16? Richard, Brother Richard, do you remember when you were 16? Yeah. Could you have ruled a country? The country of West Virginia? Yeah. Most of us at 16 are not thinking about ruling countries. We just want to get our license. We want to graduate from high school, right? We want to get a job. We're getting ready for college. We want to earn some money. Those are the things that most 16-year-olds are picking. But the people chose Uzziah to be their leader. Evidently, during this interim time when his father was making these poor choices for the people of Judah, this young man had distinguished himself by 16. And the people saw he had leadership capabilities. And we find out he was very, very gifted. You know, it's wonderful when you see gifted people. Sometimes it causes us to be a little jealous. Wouldn't it be nice if that talent had been spread around a little bit more? And you'll be able to see, you hear somebody with a beautiful voice singing. Or if you hear it like I heard this week, this young boy is in Europe. He's a phenom trumpet player. And he was playing some of the most technical music written for trumpet. And he was just going through it. I mean, you just, yeah, Fly to the Bumblebee. How many of you have ever heard that? I didn't even want to do the flight of the snail. I was not about to go try that. Very few trumpeters can play that. I mean, it's just and this kid was up there, and he had one of those trumpets with a European style with the flat valves, and they looked like a French horn turned on its side with a straight barrel. And he was just flying through that. And I sat there and watched the video, and I just wanted to go sell my trumpet. I mean, here was a kid that was doing that, a phenom. Well, that was Uzziah. Very, very gifted in his ability. So many things are listed in this passage. His father had left a very poor testimony at the end of his life. The Bible says that he refused to tear down the high places. And so false, idolatrous worship was going on in the country. This is the kind of time in which Uzziah grew up. His father had been one that had done right in the sight of the Lord, but at the very end, he had failed. He attacked foolishly the northern kingdom of Israel. They sent out assassins, and they took his father's life. So here's a young boy that goes to the funeral of his father. His father has died, and they said, "We want you to be the next king." And he took it. He took the position of king. And from 16 on, he begins to build through the help of God. We're told something about Uzziah, very wise as a young boy. It says he listened to the words of Zechariah. Now, who is Zechariah? We have a book in the Old Testament written by Zechariah. Some of the great prophecies about the future in Jesus Christ and his rulership over on the throne in Jerusalem are found in the words of the prophet Zechariah. He had that kind of influence on this young boy, and this young boy listened to what was said. He listened to this older man who had prophecies and visions from God and understood the times and understood the future. and he listened to him. Is that a good quality in a young person? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there are things that we all have to learn. I'm thankful for YouTube. And the reason I'm thankful for YouTube is because I can go watch videos on how to repair something on my vehicle. How many of you do that? Anybody? Yeah. There'd be something that's going haywire. I had something go haywire where the truck kept talking to me. It said, please give a command. And it was related to something with the audio system. I didn't know how to turn it off. It just kept talking to me. And I first of all, I almost said, here am I, Lord. I didn't know what it was. It was this man's voice talking to me about the audio system. So I pulled up my phone. How do you turn off the audio system in a Ford F-150? Boom! Just like that. Video. Said, go to your menu, hit off on the audio, and hit the OK button, and it will go off. And that's exactly what I did, and boom, I had nobody talking to me in the truck anymore, telling me that I needed to enter in some command with the audio thing. Do you want to turn on your CD? Do you want to turn on your FM? No, I just wanted to turn you off. That was it. You know, it's an amazing thing, all the videos that are out there. I didn't have that back then. So what do? You ask questions of those that have wisdom. Amen? You ask questions of those that have wisdom. And this young man, who would rule for 52 years, in his early years, sought after the Lord. And he got godly counselors like Zechariah the prophet. And he listened to them. Now folks, this is important. Nobody knows everything. Is that a shocker? You know, we have politicians that think they know everything. You know? I heard about a pastor up in West Virginia. Sorry to bring up a West Virginia pastor. He was a snake handler, and he got an honorary doctorate. Some small little podunk school up there gave him an honorary doctorate, and so he was called Dr. So-and-so. He started writing prescriptions. He told the people in the church, now that I'm a doctor, I want you to come. If you have any ills, I'll get you a prescription. He ended up in jail. All right? First of all, he was given medical advice, and all he had was an honorary doctorate. He didn't even have a college degree. He got some honorary doctorate, and so he began to write prescriptions. And he was given these homeopathic things, and people started getting sick. They broke out with skin rashes. They had all these things from this doctor. And they turned him over to the state, and the state took care of business. He was not qualified. He had no business doing that. His little honorary doctorate was a piece of paper that somebody gave to him, and he ran with it. Now, isn't that sad? That's pitiful. And you would say, you think somebody would have a little more sense than that. But evidently, you know, anybody that handles snakes, something's wrong with them. I'm just going to tell you. You know, you snake handler, something's wrong with you. There was another snake handler up in West Virginia that he was handling a rattlesnake, and he was controlling it. All of a sudden, that thing came back up, got him in the neck. He was dead within minutes. And he had talked about how he had handled snakes for years and how the Holy Spirit was with him and watching over him. Boom, dead. He was doing something that he ought not to have been doing. Now this lead up, these 15 verses here that we've read, tells a wonderful story. And I'm not going to take anything away from Uzziah, because the Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of God. And as long as he sought after the Lord, now this is the operative right now, as long as he sought after the Lord was with him. Now this is important, because in the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells. Why does God give the Spirit to His children? Is it just something nice to do? No, it's the operative power of heaven that's been given to us. And we as God's children are to allow the Lord to lead us through His Spirit. He helps us to understand the Bible. He helps to illuminate passages so that we can grow thereby and learn more about the wonderful grace of God that's been given to us, and that I don't need to live life with not using grace. In other words, using the grace of God in vain. I need to know. And the Spirit of God has been given to each and every one of us that know Jesus Christ. I think that sometimes, because the charismatics have gone crazy with this, that we just keep quiet about the Holy Spirit, but we shouldn't. The Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ's representative in our bodies. All right? It's Jesus Christ. He said, "Lo, I will send the Comforter to you." Now, that means something, Christian. It means that I have the power of God to follow the Word of God. And that's the parallel that we see here in the Old Testament. As long as he sought after the Lord was with him. And we see all these wonderful things that happened in the kingship of Uzziah. The things that he was able to invent. The things that he was able to do with providing for the people of Jerusalem through his husbandry. The vineyards and the olive vineyards and all the food that was able to be grown for the people. He superintended that. God had gifted him that way. And as long as he sought after the Lord was with him. What happens when we don't honor the Lord? The Bible says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Yeah? We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We're not living in His power. We're doing things on our own. It brings grief to the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. I don't gain the benefit that God has given to me because of my stubbornness and because of my pride. And we're going to see all these good things right here get left behind, and we move in another direction that the Bible records. We're not here to criticize you, Uzziah. Please don't misunderstand me here. If my life were put out there, there'd be a lot to criticize. And it's not my job in 2026 to go back to a man that lived thousands of years ago and criticize his life. But the Bible records what happened for our learning, for our admonition. I'll leave you with this thought. It's not necessarily a spiritual thought. But many years ago, and this was right before Roger and Eva got married, Mom and Dad had a dog. And this dog was a handful. All he wanted to do was jump on you when you came into the yard. And so we said, we need to take this dog down to Mrs. Turner, who was the dog trainer in Milton at that time, and take him through the training. What was the name of the dog again? Corky. Well, that was an appropriate word for that dog. It should have been Quirky. That dog. And all the dogs, Roger and Eva, took Corky down there. And she would have them have the dogs all sit. And you'd see this German Shepherd sitting nicely in a poodle and all this kind of stuff. And then there was Corky on the end. And Roger was holding, it was just going like this. That dog was just hopping. And Janine Turner walked up over to Roger and said, "Could I have your dog for a few minutes?" And so she grabbed it, and she walked it over behind down a tunnel at Milton High School. And all of a sudden we heard, "Wah, wah, wah, wah," and she came back out. And the dog was, I don't know what she did. We still don't know to this day what happened. But Corky was done jumping with her. It was amazing what took place. Knowledge is a good thing, is it not? Knowledge is a good thing. Now, she passed along knowledge to Corky. When I say sit, you sit. If you don't sit, there's going to be pain. All right? Even in dog land, that dog got it. All right? And so Roger took the thing and went over there, and Corky sat right there, you know. Now, there was a couple other times down the tunnel, because Corky had a very short-term memory issue. All right? And so once again, profile, everybody's in line, Corky. You know, don't you love it when your dog is the one that's misbehaving? Yep. And then down the aisle, they would go. And she always walked with a big step. She had been one of those trained, you know, taking the dog and take it back there. Boop, 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 boop. Next thing you know, walking back out there, get in line again. Is that how we want to live with God? Whom the Lord loveth. You know the rest of it? He chasteneth. That's still in the Bible, Christian. I know that we're living in more advanced times and people don't believe that anymore. But it's true because He loves us. And sometimes He has to take us down the Milton High Tunnel. All right? And then we come back out and we're walking in His steps, not our own. This historical figure was a good man. He was a good man. He was a godly man. But something took place in his thinking. And this is where we're going to get to next time. Something changed in his thinking. When he looked back and he saw all the successes, all right? Something shifted in his thinking. Instead of God did this, it became I did this. And so going forward, if I did all of this, I can be a priest too. I can be a priest too. I can do this. And when confronted by 80 priests, as you're going to see, he still grabbed the censer and still began to wave it in front of them in a bold, brash move. And they watched as on his forehead it begins to break out with leprosy spreading across his face and his body. And the Bible says they grabbed him and he ran out of the temple. He realized, I crossed a line. And for the rest of his days, we're going to see, he lived the life of a leper. And when he died, he wasn't buried with the rest of the kings. He was buried in a side area next to the grave of the kings. For it was said, the Bible says, he is a leper. From greatness to a leper. Again, we're not here to criticize Uzziah. What we're here is to identify learning points for us. Amen? Learning points for us. Because none of us can set ourselves up and say, I always do what's right in the sight of God. And none of us that can say that. The Bible says that about him. But it also says that when he became strong, he desired to do something that was outside his realm of authority. And we're gonna build upon this, hopefully, Lord willing, next time, to encourage us to stay humble. What does God give to the humble? Bill had a message a few years ago that he preached about he gives grace to whom? The humble. He doesn't give grace to the proud. You need to learn something about God. He gives grace to the humble. We cannot allow anything in our lives that would lift up our soul and say, I did this. We must remember who we are. We are simply servants of God, saved by grace. We're to live by grace. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He giveth grace to the humble. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. I pray that you'd teach us tonight the importance of allowing your word to work in our hearts and your grace to be manifested in our lives. And in order for that grace to be manifested, there must be humility. We're not talking about self-manufactured humility, but the simple work of the Spirit within the heart and life. Lord, I pray that we would learn these lessons from the Old Testament. That's why it's given to us, that we might be admonished. Encourage us, dear Father. We don't want our epitaph to be, we almost made it. We almost succeeded. We almost lived the right kind of life. Lord, we just want to be able to claim the merits of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we be found faithful, serving Thee because of Your grace and goodness, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.